له الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, O you who have iman, be the ansar of Allah. The ansar. This word comes up quite a lot in Allah's book. And we think immediately of the ansar, the helpers, who are those who assisted with their families and with their wealth, with everything they possessed, the muhajireen when they first came to Al-Madina Al-Munawwara after the Hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be Ansar. So the term is wider than just them in that time. Nasara yansuru in Arabic means to support. And we have these interesting phrases in Allah's book where he says things like in tansurullaha yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. If you support Allah, He will support you and make your feet firm. Supporting Allah is an impossibility. What it means is uphold His cause. Support that in the world which He wishes to be supported, and oppose that which He wishes not to thrive. Just as the Ansar in Medina, radiallahu anhum, were giving their help and their support to the Muhajireen, not for the sake of the Muhajireen, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They too were Ansarullah. But this ayah then links this commandment, which we're supposed to uphold, to a very specific time and place. كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ كُنُوا أَنْصَارَ اللَّهِ So be the Ansar of Allah, just as Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam said to the disciples, be Ansarullah, be Allah's helpers, supporters, those who work in His cause. And they were baffled by this odd expression, to help Allah, to help His cause. قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ مَنْ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ And the Hawariyun said, who are Allah's supporters? And then they said, نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ We are Allah's supporters. فَأَيَّدْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ Some of the Israelites believed, some of them disbelieved, but we supported those who believed over those who disbelieved, and they were victorious. So this turns out to be about the Bani Israel, and about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam addressing the Bani Israel. What would it mean for them? He is addressing his people, saying that they should be in this category, Ansarullah. And some of them believe, some of them don't. فَآمَنَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَكَفَرَتْ طَائِفَةٌ Some of the Bani Israel believed in him, some did not. And then Allah supported those who supported him, فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ And they became the uppermost. Now we know from the history of those distant, obscure times, that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was preaching to people who were in any case partially converted. He was not speaking to pagans or idol worshippers, as was Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was speaking to people who were still Bani Israel, people who had had this ambiguous privilege of the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps one of the meanings of this Ansar in that context was the old Hebrew sense of Notzrei Habrit, those who are keepers of the covenant. What he is saying to them is, who is going to join me
in upholding the covenant. Really upholding the covenant. Not just the outward forms, but the inward reality as well. And some of them believed and some didn't. And the belief was to follow him in his loyalty to the ancient covenant. And the disbelief could take two forms. Either they could end up rejecting his messiahhood and continuing in the old law without the messiah, waiting and waiting and waiting for millennia. Or they could accept his messiahhood but imagine that he was somebody who would go beyond the covenant, smash the covenant, and actually be a god in human form. Those are the two forms of kufr that were open to people who heard him, alayhi salam. But some followed him. And then it says, فَأَصْبَحُوا الظَّاهِرِينَ. And then, the ones who had iman ended up uppermost. And what that must mean is the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam is nothing other than upholding the way of the Anbiya, the Prophets, alayhi salam. Our law differs in some respect from the laws of the ancient prophets. Allah in his mercy knows our weakness and knows that we are everywhere, not just in one particular time and place, and he makes certain things easier, but it's the same ahad, the same mithaq, the same covenant. We are, if we follow that, the Ansar who Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was speaking about. Nonetheless, the initial audience seems to be about the Israelites. And we all know that Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah that contains much about the Bani Israel, just as Surah Ali Imran contains much about the Nasara, about the Christians. And if we look towards the beginning of Al-Baqarah, we find some very fundamental things stated about how human beings are going to respond to this new book. It begins about itself. It doesn't begin with the creation of the world, it begins with itself. Dhalika al-kitab. That's what you should pay attention to, not some event many years ago, but this thing that is now addressing you. And who are the people who it addresses? Well, they turn out to be three different categories, and they'll respond in three different ways. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is the first category. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The book is a guidance to whom? First category. Those who believe in the unseen, the first thing. And establish the prayer. And give of what we have bestowed upon them. In the Sharia of Islam, this means Salat and Zakat. And it goes on. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. And those who believed in what is sent to you, this book, and that which is sent to those who are before you, the earlier scriptures, and they have certainty in the Akhirah. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They're the ones who have guidance. Remember, it says the Quran is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, guidance for the people of taqwa, and these are the people who have this huda. They are عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, and they are the ones who shall triumph, who will harvest, يُفْلِحُونَ. But there's another category, at the other end of the human spectrum. Those who do not believe. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who don't believe, those who reject, those who cover it all up. It doesn't make any difference whether you warn them or do not warn them. There's a certain kind of person who will not respond. They do not believe. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبُصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has set a seal upon their hearts and upon their ears, and there is a covering over their eyes, and theirs is a great punishment. That's his decree, that's what he ordains, and he does what he wills. But there's another category. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And there are some people who say, we believe in Allah and we believe in the message, but they're not really believers. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They seek to deceive Allah and His Messenger, but they deceive only themselves, but they don't realize it. So at the very beginning of Al-Baqarah, we have this division of human beings into three types. There are the people who have the huda, the people who have the taqwa, the people to whom the text is going to make a big difference to, and then these two other categories, the people who are completely out of it, the people whose hearts are sealed, and the people who say one thing, but actually inwardly they're the other thing. It's the category of the munafiqeen. And then the text goes on. And the next thing that the text deals with is the first disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to utter the names. And they say, Subhanak, la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Subhanak, we have no knowledge except that knowledge which you have given us. The first disobedience. But it's not their fault. They're angels, they can't disobey. They can only, in this case, not know. And then you get the next disobedience, which is a real disobedience, which is Iblis refusing to bow down to Adam. And that's a long, fascinating story, which we don't have time to get into here. But that's the next thing that Allah in His book wishes to set before you. The problem of, first of all, an innocent disobedience. We simply don't know so much. We regularly make mistakes. And then a guilty disobedience. And then what comes? Well, then we get to the people who are so frequently addressed in this surah, and the people who Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is trying to address. Ya bani Israel, udhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa awfu bi'ahdi awfu bi'ahdikum wa iyaya tarhabun. O people of Israel, O bani Israel, remember the blessings which I have bestowed upon you. Fulfill your covenant with me, I will fulfill my covenant with you, and be fearful of me. Tarhabun. And this is actually a word that's closer to the idea of piety, which has the sense of fear, fearing God, than taqwa, which has more to do with scrupulousness and being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the concept with which the surah begins. Wa'iyaya tarhabun, be afraid of me. This is the thing that they're principally commanded to do. This is the maqam of the Israelite, the Bani Israel, the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom. This is to be their particular way of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what He's commanding them to do. And it's a high thing, the fear of God. And so the surah, having made these very big general declarations, talked about the whole human condition, talking about the beginning of time, talking about how disobedience began, then focuses on this small people, who are going to be an exemplary people in a complicated range of ways. And he says, first of all, remember my blessings upon you. This is not about remember all of the curses. He says again and again, remember my blessings, my favour, this ni'mah which I have given to you many times. And then the indication that one possibility that they can fall into if they're not in the state of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they slip out of the first of Al-Baqarah's categories, not into the second but into the third, is أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. You command people to good things, to birr, but you forget to do them yourself while you are reading the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Aren't you going to wake up? Aren't you going to be intelligent? This is the danger. If you don't have this fear, this rabbaniyya, self-denying fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His knowledge, of His scrutiny, of His possible punishment, then there's going to be the possibility of playing around, of saying certain things, making certain big claims about yourself, about your people, about your way, but in reality doing something else. So what's the solution? وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. How do you do that? How do you get over that state of not actually being what you're urging others to be? You're the exemplary people. You are the ones with this privileged covenant. There's going to be no people quite in that situation ever again. But still, you're trying to find ways of wriggling out of the many responsibilities. How do you get help? اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help in patience and in prayer. And these are big things, difficult things, except for people of khushu. And again, this is the idea of fear and humility again. If you have that inner state, everything else is going to be easy. This whole business of the covenant, upholding the law, upholding all of these things, giving thankfulness to Allah's blessings, is going to be possible if you're in this state of humility. And that's not so easy. And if you have that state, if you can begin to get something of that state, then you seek help in these two things. This is what the Bani Israel is urged to hold to. This is the basic commandment. Sabr and Salat. If you are patient and wait, if you pray faithfully, and everything else that goes with the prayer, the prayer is really the most basic ritual commandment, then these blessings will continue. Then you're doing your side of the deal in this relationship, in this covenant. That patience is required of you. And what do they have to wait for? Well, they are waiting for the thing that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is announcing to them has finally come. He is Al-Masih ibn Maryam alayhi salam. He is the one who is going to bring to a climax their story. Their great virtue has to be patient, to wait for that. Not to jump the gun, not to try and do the things that only he can do. A kind of false messianic utopia, a dream. One of the dangers is, of course, if you're fed up of waiting, because only he can lead you back to the land, possibly in some unimaginable way, if you're fed up of waiting and you jump the gun, and you try and do it because you're sick of waiting, on your own, you may find that Allah's protection is withdrawn from you. And according to many of the ulama, this is the situation of the Israelis right now. They waited thousands and thousands of years for one who would take them back. They got fed up and they tried to do it on their own. Tawakkul went out of the window. Sabr was certainly at an end, and they tried to go back without their greatest prophet, without the Masih alayhi salam. And they found themselves beset by enemies more frightened than they were when they were out in their diaspora. And the future of their situation there is very unclear. 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, who knows how strong their neighbours might be and what mood they might be in. It's all very hazardous. Sabr is what they are commanded to follow. Of course, these are commandments that are addressed to them in this context, to the whole Ummah. Sabr and Salat are also supposed to be Islamic qualities as well. But it's very important that these two things are what the Bani Israel are to be commanded to do. And the khashi'in, الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. That's also subtle. And for them, a problem, is there an afterlife? Is there a resurrection? Will we be raji'un, returning to our Lord? Some of them said yes, some of them at the time of Sayyidina Isa said no. It was a dispute amongst them. But clearly, if you do have that awareness that life never really comes to an end, that you will be judged, that you will stand before the one who will take you to task, actually in the next world, for your upholding of the covenant, you're more likely to have that humility and that for sure. If you don't have that belief in the next world, arrogance and a certain worldliness is going to be a lot easier. There's a very subtle diagnosis here. But the blessings are real blessings. With أَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, the verses go on to remind them, and this is really addressed to them, and when we saved you from the family of Fir'aun, يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. When we saved you from the family of Pharaoh, who were slaughtering your boys and saving your girls, and there was a great trial, بَلَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ, in that voice from your Lord, he saved you. How could you imagine that they could be saved when they were in a situation of such absolute desperation? Again and again, that people, as other peoples, have been in situations of extreme vulnerability. But the one who is being tested and is tested successfully in that situation, he's the one who says, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. The one who can rise above it, rise above the suffering, rather than panic and lash out, is the one who is really the object of this test. And then, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ, what happens next? When we separated the sea for you, فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ, and we saved you, وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, we saved you and we drowned the people of Pharaoh while you were watching. What more drastic proof of your special relationship with heaven could you ask for? There were your persecutors being drowned by an inconceivable miracle. and they believed at the last moment that it was too late. These are the ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon a particular category of humanity. That's for them, but their story is in our book for a reason that is relevant to us. Because we now are the ummah that is charged with the true continuation of that ancient way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his generosity may, our ulama tell us, look with favour upon certain people who, in the limits of what they know, are still acting on the basis of earlier versions of his single covenant. Allahu a'lam, and that's left to Allah's love and his mercy and his justice on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. What concerns us, our response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this universal covenant, this real mithaq that is represented for the Ummah of Islam by Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who opens the story up to the horizons, to the whole world, whose symbol is the Kaaba, the open temple for everyone, not the single temple in Jerusalem, but the universal temple. What is the message for us? All of those things still apply. All of the things they used to do, we are doing. The lack of sabr, the lack of prayer, the lack of humility, the lack of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lack of khushu', when we have those things, we get into the same kind of mess that they got into. They're not in some unique, special relationship that always ensures that things will go wrong for them. They're an exemplary people of how to go right and how to go wrong. And what happens when you go right, you get the mulk of Sulaiman, the greatest mulk ever, and when you go wrong, catastrophe, inconceivable disasters. The Surah Al-Baqarah seems to begin, first of all, with these universal principles, these huge statements about heaven and earth, and about the book, and about faith and misguidance, and then it seems to narrow the wave length to this small story of the one people that comes, the Baqarah comes back to again and again. But in fact, they're only there, not because suddenly the big horizon has become narrow, but because they represent something very emblematic about the big story. They are an exemplary people, they are an uswa, they are a warning, and also indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promises. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true ibrah, to help us to learn properly from the stories that he has put in his book, so that we do not just treat them as museum pieces, but recognize that what made a huge difference to them will make a huge difference to us, and that the virtues and the commandments are always the same, however much time and space may change. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم, أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين, فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد, وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وآخر الصلاة.